Hello, my name is Wayne Jones. Welcome to the My Sam Johnson podcast. The topic for this week's episode is Sam Johnson Blockhead. And for any of you know anything about sort of famous quotations from Sam, you'll know that this is not an insult that I have, but it's basically one of his more famous quotations where he says, and Boswell, his biographer, quotes, Sam says, no man but a blockhead ever wrote except for money. So what I did in my blog that accompanies or that is a complement to this podcast is talk about that concept of writing for money or writing for other reasons, but also to illustrate some examples of cases where Sam obviously didn't performed writing, but not for money, or performed a writing service of some kind, but not for money. I mean, it was sort of obvious. It's a very, it's meant to be a kind of a catchy expression. It's meant to be outrageous in a certain way, you know, as if he was putting down railroad tracks or something. The only reason you'd do that is if you'd get paid for it. You wouldn't do it for free. The main point, I suppose, is that there were other reasons. And what I went on to do in my blog, and if you want to go there, it's at mysamjohnson.com and read the latest posting. I talked about a couple of examples where Sam does deal with that, where Sam does write for cases, but doesn't get any money for it. And this is not going to be the topic of this podcast. I want to talk about something else, but I just wanted to kind of alert you to that. And there were a couple of examples. One involved the writer Oliver Goldsmith, who was being held under arrest, as they say. It was very strict in the 18th century regarding debts that weren't being paid. So I gather, we gather that the Goldsmith hadn't paid his rent. It's hard to think about that. You know, it's a famous writer now, and you sort of think, oh, he didn't pay his rent and he's under arrest by his landlady. That seems a little crazy. But basically, the famous story about it is that Goldsmith appealed to Johnson, and Johnson sent them some money, but he also went over, and because Goldsmith had told him, I've got this great manuscript of a novel I've written, and I think it's worth something. So the famous story and the famous portrait that accompanies it is that Johnson ran over, or probably not ran, Johnson was a large man, proceeded over to Goldsmith's place, read the manuscript, took it out to a printer or publisher, and sold it for a certain amount of money, and Goldsmith was able to have much more than just money to pay his rent based on that. So that's a case where Johnson not so much was writing not for money, but was performing literary critique, editing maybe, literary evaluation, but for no money really, basically doing a favor for a friend. And I have another example there too, which I won't go into here, but please go over and look at my blog at mysamjohnson.com. What I wanted to talk about is writing as a kind of compulsion that a lot of people do, including myself, obviously. It's a really odd compulsion in a lot of ways, because it's not something, if you look at the, you know, if you examine all the facts and everything, it's not something that's, you'll probably have to go back to Sam, you'll probably have to find something else to do to make your money, because you're likely not going to make it from writing. I often joke with people that if I had, if I had had to depend on the royalties that I've gotten from my writing over the years in order to support myself, I'd be dead by now, which is true. And it's true of a lot of writers. So you don't really end up doing it for money. In fact, it's a certain kind of total reversal of what Sam is saying. You know, you write for, you always, almost everyone writes for every reason. You know, there are a couple of Michael Ondaatje's and a couple of Margaret Atwood's in Canada, that kind of thing, who are purely writers and make not only money, but make quite a fortune out of writing. But that is the probably less than 1%, you know, and I don't know. I haven't done research, but I'd be willing to bet there's not more than 10% of people who write who fully make their living out of writing. I'm not talking about journalists here. I'm talking about people who write books or people who write fiction, for example. There's a very, very small number that make a living from it. Yet there's a very large number who practice it. So it's kind of a as I say, an odd compulsion. One of my other favorite quotes from Sam is when he and Boswell were talking about a country doctor who had retired from a busy practice in the city and gone to the country. And you know, Sam was basically approving that and understanding that and saying, you know, he had had a good life of practice and had done well, and he deserves to be able to come to the country and sort of ease perhaps into retirement with a less busy practice. And Boswell, I don't know, either naively or you know, maybe just logically asking Sam the question, or maybe he was poking at him, who knows. But Boswell asked them, you know, but how about writing? This is not obviously not a direct quote, but how about writing? You know, wouldn't you be happier doing more writing than less? I wonder about that. And Sam has the classic answer and the very accurate answer to the question. And his answer is, sir, you may wonder. And I always thought that was the perfect answer, because it's anyway, the way I take it, it's very snide, and it's it's very I take that he's saying basically that you know, God damn it, writing is a hard thing to do. And if you're getting close to retirement and you have the opportunity to basically live but still do a little writing but not so much, wouldn't you choose that? And his answer to Boswell is maybe what we say these days is, duh, that sort of thing. Of course I would do less. It's always been one of my favorite anecdotes. So, yeah. I remember, I'm now 61 years old, and I've been writing in some sort of way for since I was a teenager. Basically, I remember as a teenager trying to write a novel, and I never succeeded in completing that novel. I did do some, either did notes for it, because I remember these. Or I, you know, wrote some paragraphs or chapters or whatever. But I remember my compulsion was to, I felt that you had to have details in it. You know, you had to describe everything. And what I remember too, and this is probably no coincidence, was that about at that time I was reading Charles Dickens, that sort of thing. You know, these long, very long novels with long descriptions. I fully admit I'm not a large fan of Charles Dickens, but obviously he's a great writer. So I just felt I had to emulate that. And it just didn't come to me. I just didn't, you know, it just felt very unnatural. I felt these things were unnecessary in writing anything. And then I came upon some other writing at the time, and it was slightly kind of experimental, and it didn't focus on details like that sort of thing. And you know, to compact a lot of years into, this was when I was about 15 or 16, and by the time I got into my 20s, I certainly realized that I didn't have to have long descriptions of what clothing people were wearing or what color the floors were and that sort of thing. Some people do that, and that's how they write their novels, and those are the details they put in, and some people do not. And there's a very kind of, I find, silly way. In a way, it's silly, and in a way, it's very accurate. People often talk about writers finding their voice. And I shiver a little when I even say it, because it's a little bit of a kind of a silly phrase. But the truth in it is that what finding your voice means is basically kind of poking around in different styles until you find, like, this is the way that I express myself. This is the way I do it. And I'm positive that it applies to all artists of any kind, painters, sculptors, musicians, whatever. You know, you start off doing something perhaps because it's what's most popular, or it's what you're hearing, or it's from someone you admire or something like that, but it never quite feels right, or it never comes out well, or it comes out feeling very derivative because you're essentially copying something else. So a writer definitely needs to find his or her voice, find their voice. And that's an important thing. And I eventually did. I used to write fiction in my, 20s and 30s, even in my 40s, I think. I don't write fiction anymore. But it's a very important part of becoming a writer of any kind. And the other thing I would say about that, and again, I'll use myself as an example, just sort of blithely said, I don't write fiction anymore, yet I did it for over 20 years. And it's not as if that was lost time. I did actually happen to publish a few things. But the other thing is that what you do learn is what all writing and all fiction is based on. You learn the English language. And I don't mean by that learning a bunch of arcane words that you can impress readers with. It's not that sort of thing. It's basically about learning, how the language works and how you can use it to best effect, to try to describe something that you want to describe, or to try to whatever, play with it in a way you want to play with it. And the more you become familiar with it, it becomes a kind of a medium. And English is a supremely, supremely rich language. I believe it's true that it has the largest vocabulary of any language in the world. And only the numbers matter, but language is English is a very diverse, very accepting, very, very flexible kind of language. And, once you get, if you're just speaking it, even you can become someone who's witty, or someone who knows how to talk English in a funny way, for example. But if you're a writer and you're, this is the stuff you're using to produce whatever you're trying to write or to say, or whatever effect you're trying to achieve, you really do become adept at it at all, if you're paying any attention at all. I mean, a lot of people, I'm sure there are a lot of writers who, you start off at your 16-year-old level and you really never get any better, and that may be because you're not paying attention. That may be because you think that fiction has some other purpose, that you're not paying attention to the language. I've always really strongly believed, not that I don't think, at least for me anyway, this is no revolutionary statement, that it's all about the language, basically. That's what it is. Those are the building blocks, he said, using a stupid metaphor. But that's what you use. And once you get to know that, and year over year over year over year of perhaps doing a little bit of reading, but also of writing and redrafting and looking things up in the dictionary and knowing the connotations of words and knowing, what the difference is between if I use this word as opposed to this word, because there's really no such thing as exact synonyms in English. As much as people, one of my least favorite tools in in the world is the thesaurus, you know, something that is built on the premise that, you know, one word can be exactly a substitute for another word. Not that that is patently false. However, I mean, what you have with when you're a writer is that you might know the part of the list of words that a thesaurus might list, and you know which one has which sort of nuance or which sort of connotation that is actually perfect for what you're trying to express. So, and I think it's underestimated basically how. In two ways, I think. One is that it's underestimated for writers how important it is to know the language. You know, if in a certain way, I suppose, you know, there's different kinds of fiction, and people read for very, very different reasons. But if you're trying to write high quality fiction, for example, and I don't mean that in a snooty kind of way, I mean something that is literarily well done, and you can't just be someone who, you know, you just can't sort of sit and do that unless you're a kind of a native genius or something. I'm hedging a bit here, but the one thing I wanted to say is that there's two things I think are underestimated. One is that sort of anyone can write, basically, because we're all speaking English. Therefore, if you can write a story, well, I can write a story too, because I speak the same language you do. And that's not true. I remember hearing an anecdote once, and I think I'm remembering this right. I did say earlier on that I was a very, very old man of 61. So I think I'm remembering this right, but Margaret Atwood met a doctor, I think, on a cruise once or something like this. This was like 20 years ago, so this is why it's a little vague in my mind. And you know, they got to chatting, and the doctor said, "You know, when I retire, I think I'm going to become a writer." And Atwood. Anyway, Atwood's response to him was, "Well, when I retire, I'm going to become a heart surgeon," something like that. But it's a really kind of snarky good indication of the fact that, you know, just because you speak English, it doesn't mean you can write English, I guess is what she was trying to say. I'm not a very big fan of Margaret Atwood, but I like her just for that one exchange. That's pretty witty. And the other thing that's underestimated, I think, is what I was referring to earlier, is the value of knowing the language. And again, this is not about, it's partly about building a vocabulary so that you know certain words. You know, let's say there's four different ways or four different words for something in English to say something, to say more or less the same kind of action or describe the same kind of person. If you know all four of those words, you're doing pretty well. If you know one of them, then you're kind of stuck with that for your whole story. And I'm certainly not suggesting that that you have to elegantly vary the words throughout the story so that one time you call it X and one time you call it Y. In fact, I'm very vehemently against that kind of practice in any kind of writing. But what I'm meaning is that if you start off where you're about to type it into your computer and you know all four of those words, you've got everything. You've got all you need there, kind of thing. I'm simplifying, obviously, and making making it seem like it's choosing blocks or something like that. But what I mean is that a rich understanding of English, years of being immersed in it, that sort of thing, and paying attention to it as well. In the end, that will help you become a much better writer. And I also think this applies, I also feel strongly that this applies not only to fiction. I mean, people think of fiction as something that really only a select number of people can do very well. And actually, I would say that's probably the case. Whereas nonfiction, not so much, because it's or people so people think, because you know, you're just describing a bunch of stuff, right? You're not striving to have literary language or language that has you know, built-in invisible puns or nuances or references, you know, back to Shakespeare or things like that. You're not striving for that sort of thing. You're describing just you're hoping to make something kind of clearer. But again, it's necessary in nonfiction for two reasons. I would say one is that first part I was talking about in fiction, where something can have sort of puns and plays on words and references to this and that sort of thing that are built in. That's a pretty awesome thing in nonfiction as well. But the other thing is the knowledge of the language. And you might even make a case that it's even more important in nonfiction than it is in fiction, because you want to say precisely what you want to say. You know, it's kind of like the picking the right screwdriver kind of thing. You need to pick the right one, otherwise you're going to end up stripping the screw or ruining your screwdriver or it slipping off the screw and cutting your finger, something like that. So. It's very important in fiction and nonfiction, basically, is my point about knowledge of the language. And the two final things I wanted to say is that one is just to repeat that it's always about the words. Any writing that you do is always about the words, and certainly that applies in the writing of fiction. One of the things I bring up probably too much with in writing and with my friends and anyone is that, you know, it doesn't matter what the story is about. It doesn't matter. It certainly doesn't matter whether you like the characters, and it doesn't matter whether a novel is bleak or whether the ending is, you know, just heartbreaking or confusing or anything like that. What's important is that the words are well chosen. That's the important thing. So that it doesn't matter whether you're describing some world peace, or whether you're describing the smallest insect that you might see on the ground, or whether you're describing a very nuanced emotion in a person, or whether you're describing someone shouting at you like an idiot, that kind of thing. It's always, if you were to describe that, it's the words that are important. It's not the action. It's not the thing itself. That's how I feel about it anyway. I feel very, very strongly about that. And I feel about that in some of the other arts as well. And the main one I'm thinking of here is film. And, or television or anything like that, something that uses language in a certain kind of way. You know, you'll often hear people talking about movies and saying it's a great movie because, and there'll be a list of reasons, but the best movies are ones where it all starts with the writing, basically. So I guess I'm basically taking a step up from words to writing. For me, a movie is, if the writing is terrible, I don't care about the special effects, and I don't care about even the acting in a certain way. But a truly great movie comes together when you have awesome writing, acting that's just superior, directing that's good, and then cinematography and editing that's really done well, so that cuts are made well that move into the next scenes. If you get that coming together, you'll get movies that'll just blow you right off your seats. And I will have to say, there's not many movies like that. Most of them have one of those, probably. So anyway, maybe I'll just end there. My message for the whole thing of this little ramble that I've had is that words are important. Words are the most important thing in writing, and that's the thing that a writer, when a writer is writing, has to concentrate on. I very much appreciate your listening. This has been Wayne Jones with My Sam Johnson Podcast. And you can subscribe to this podcast wherever you find your podcasts. It's weekly. And I'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for listening.